This is an ABC podcast.
Okay. Do I need to say my name? Do you
use
this?
Yeah. Because sometimes we use it at the start. It's a podcast thing. it's like first day of school.
My name's
it's like,
Lola Palmer.
Hi, I'm Bridget. Show us your credentials.
Do I use my surname?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Bridget Glanville and I'm the New South Wales political reporter.
You nailed it. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre.
And I'm Stephen Smiley. And today on The Signal, we're talking to Bridget.
Yes, and our resident elections guru, Anthony Green.
About tomorrow's New South Wales election.
And if you're in New South Wales, this is the cheat sheet you've been waiting for. And if not, it actually still involves you too.
It does, we promise.
Yeah, because the way voting works in New South Wales now, particularly in the upper house, is exactly the same as the new Senate rules at a federal level.
All right, so more on the technical side of the voting in a sec, but first, back to Bridget Glanville, who we literally accosted in the corridor and forced to speak with us.
All right, so I feel very lucky that we got you into a studio today because you are absolutely slammed at the moment because it is the day before poll day. How close are things for people who might not have been following this race closely?
They're very close. So all of the opinion polls are showing that the leaders are neck and neck. They're deadlocked at 50-50. It's a pretty interesting result given that in New South Wales we've had the same government for the last two terms, so there's fixed terms for the last 8 years, but this government is largely seen as the envy, and certainly its budget is the envy of other states. It's got plenty of money. It's building infrastructure projects everywhere. There's roads and rail and there's schools and hospitals, et cetera, you name it. And so it really, you would think the government should be, the gap should be much further apart in the polls, but it's not. Labor's really clawing back.
Okay, so the major parties are basically neck and neck, and the reason that that is surprising, on top of the stuff that Bridget was talking about, like the government here being flush with cash, is that when Labor was voted out of office 8 years ago, voters were absolutely done with them.
So when Labor was kicked out in 2011, you know, what came out after that were these corruption scandals. You've now got former ministers Eddie Obeid's in jail, Ian McDonald's been in jail, and that's certainly been the narrative that the government's been running. But since then, this government in its last term has made some decisions that people have been very unhappy with. They banned greyhound racing, which put a lot of their regional voters offside. Mm-hmm. They were forcing council amalgamations. They both had to backflip on those. There's been a number of issues. Another one of the issues, Ange, that the opposition has seized on, has been running this campaign, is their decision to knock down and rebuild two football stadiums in Sydney.
This has been so bizarre. For anyone watching nationally, I think the thinking has kind of been like, why does everyone in New South Wales give so many shits about these stadiums?
That's right. And particularly, you know, Perth's got a new stadium and in Melbourne we know they're football obsessed.
Yeah.
So these two stadiums, the government made a decision that they're going to knock down and rebuild the one that was built for the Sydney Olympics. So that's 19 years ago. And one that was built in Moore Park, the Sydney Football Stadium, 30 years ago. And so there was outcry at the time and they said, all right, well, we won't do that. We'll just refurbish the one that was built 19 years ago and the one that was built 30 years ago, we'll knock down and rebuild that.
Okay.
And the opposition's jumped on and said, this is a complete waste of money.
Right. Even health if you've and hospitals, schools.
Schools and hospitals sure. need to be built. And, you know, the Labor's argument, the opposition's argument is, well, you've still got schools that aren't air-conditioned and you've still got parents having to buy tissues and whiteboard markers for their teachers to use in classrooms. Like, there's never enough money for schools and hospitals. So why would you build this? It's just seen as a total waste of money.
Right, so for all those reasons, Labor, under its leader Michael Daly, has ended up where no one expected them to be, within striking distance of government.
Right, but then on Tuesday of this week, there was this.
Our young children will flee, and who are they being replaced with? They're being replaced by young children, young people from typically Asia with PhDs. So there's a transformation happening in Sydney now where our kids are moving out, and foreigners are moving in and taking their jobs. And I don't want to sound xenophobic. It's not a xenophobic thing, it's an economic question.
I am deeply concerned by the comment you've just made about Asians taking over Sydney. I was just wondering if you wouldn't mind clarifying your comment a bit.
A video emerged of Michael Daly at a Labor function in September last year where he was talking about housing affordability, but he then continued and said, housing affordability is an issue, you know, for our young people. That's why they're leaving our cities. Mm-hmm. And foreigners Asians are taking their jobs.
Right.
And everyone went, sorry, WTF. It's a bit, it's like one of those comments when people say, I'm not racist, but.
However.
Then they make the extremely racist comment.
Racist thing to say.
That's right. And so it was racist. He came out and apologised. He apologised. It was a little bit qualified. Then the next day he came out and apologised again. That wasn't qualified. It's, we really don't know how it's going to play within the electorate. It's going to hurt in some seats. In other seats, it won't hurt as much.
What's the read on Michael Daly?
The criticism of Michael Daly's been is that he's not across the detail. There was a debate last night where he was stumbled over a bit of detail, but to be fair, so does Gladys Berejiklian, mm-hmm. the Premier.
Okay, so how much more are you going to spend on TAFE?
It'll be about $3 billion on TAFE. With all their...
$3 billion?
Well, tell me, check the fee, I don't.
So hang on, Michael Daly. You're not sure, with education centrepiece of your election, you're not sure how much more you're spending on schools... And you're not sure how much more you're spending on TAFE?
I'll just check that figure and get back to you, David. Yeah.
All right.
And he has only been in for 14 weeks. He constantly says, I say what I think. It's not always going to impress people. One of his big wins in this campaign is he said what he thought and he went on Alan Jones's program and told him he was going to sack him and the rest of the board from the Sydney Cricket Ground Trust because Alan Jones is on the trust of the Sydney Football Stadium.
Yeah.
Of the Sydney Cricket Ground. So in that sense, he does speak his mind, and I think he's hoping that voters will like that because we often hear them talking about politicians in, you know, a light that they don't trust them and they don't believe anything they say.
You talk to young people in their 20s and their 30s, particularly in Sydney, and the lockout laws are a big factor in how they understand politics in New South Wales. How much is that factoring in the election more generally?
Well, I was told yesterday only on Triple J, I heard that the Electoral Commission said that this state election they've seen the biggest increase enrolment of young voters. I know we saw it for the plebiscite on gay marriage, but we've seen it in this state election. Normally state elections, there's probably not a huge amount of interest even from adult voters. One of the ministers said to me the other day, a while ago, do you think anyone under the age of 30 is going to vote for us? So they can pretty concerned
yeah.
that they know their policies, you know, they've been referred to as, the Premier's been referred to as, you know, running a nanny state because of policies that her government, not necessarily when she was Premier, put in place, such as lockout laws, it's affected live music. They've said absolutely no to pill testing. So in certain issues, we're still the only state where abortion is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not seen as being progressive on those sorts of issues.
10,000 people have turned out here to stand together against these lockouts, guys. That is amazing.
So that's the campaigning side of it, and there is a bit more to it, which we'll get to later. But next, we wanted to know about the actual voting process.
Yeah, and you already know who we looked up for that one. Okay.
I'll just make sure this is off rather
good idea.
Than on silent.
Good idea. I'll do the same.
Aircraft. Come on, there we go. That one.
Awesome. Can we get you to give us your name and position for us?
It's Anthony Green, ABC election analyst.
Okay, so... In New South Wales, if you're one of the ever-dwindling number of people who actually vote on polling day on Saturday, you're presented with two pieces of paper. Walk us through the Legislative Assembly piece first. What do you do with that ballot paper?
It's just a small ballot paper like the House of Representatives ballot paper. You put the one next to the candidate of your preferred choice and two next to your second and three next to your third. But New South Wales uses optional preferential voting, so if the rest of the ballot paper's full of crazies or equally, you know, objectionable candidates or people you've never heard of, you don't have to number the rest of the ballot paper.
Okay, so you can just stop at the candidates that you know, one, two, three, that's it, for example.
Lots of people just go one or one, two, but a lot of people don't go on and fill in all the numbers.
And what happens if your person's... the only number that you've put, number one, that person is nowhere near getting elected, your ballot just is spiked, that's it?
your ballot paper was put off in the exhausted pile. It counted for the candidate. Your candidate didn't get elected and was excluded. Therefore, your ballot paper was examined for preferences. You didn't have any preferences. Therefore, it doesn't play a part in determining who eventually wins. If people want to, they should number as many squares as they can. But in the end, whether your ballot paper exhausts or not depends on who's your last two preferences.
Now, let's talk about the upper house. Again, there's an optional element here, right? Because you can choose to vote, you can choose to number above the line, or you can choose to number below the line. But if you do that, you have to number at least 15. Yes,
this is the model that was used and copied to the Senate system. The Senate system has 12 preferences below the line and said you must give 6 preferences above. That was because that was the way they got it through the parliament.
And this was the way to kill off, you know, the Ricky Muirs of the world last time around, right?
There are no ticket votes. The ticket voting was abolished in New South Wales in 2000. We had a ballot paper in 1999, which is the size of a tablecloth with 81 columns and 264 candidates and was a physical nightmare to use.
Like you actually can't unfold it in the booth, right?
Yeah,
like
they had to get...
It goes up the side of the cardboard.
They had to get, you know, bigger freight... You know, they had to get bigger forklifts. They had to have a bigger plane to fly the ballot papers to Broken Hill. They had to widen slots on ballot papers, put more glue on postal vote envelopes. It was just ridiculous and was a farce. And so they abolished the ticket voting system, which encouraged that in the next election. In New South Wales, you vote one above the line. If you vote one above the line, it only applies to that column of candidates.
So it's not like it used to be at a federal level where... So if you voted one above the line for, I don't know, for argument's sake, the Sustainable Population Party
or something.
It would
be sent somewhere else.
And then it might end up voting, you know, electing the Sport and Recreation Party.
It's the same as the new Senate system. What you vote above the line, there are no tickets. A party cannot take your vote and send it somewhere else.
All right, so let's just recap that. So in the New South Wales upper house, you have... 3 options.
Yes, so the first is to just put a 1 above the line for the party you want, and that's it. If that party doesn't get anyone elected, then your vote doesn't count after that. It's what they call extinguished.
Yes, and the second option is that you number the parties above the line in the order that you want and as many or as few as you want. So you get to control where your vote goes if your first party goes nowhere.
Right, and the third option is you number the party's individual candidates below the line.
Yeah, and if you do that, you have to number at least 15 of them, but not necessarily more than 15, and that's where your vote stops.
Right. So with all that in mind, can we do what literally no one else can do and predict the outcome?
Well, for that one, we went back to Bridget.
The minor parties are going to play a role in this election because they're going to be on the crossbenches who could determine government. And the minor parties that are playing the role tend to be the conservative minor parties, the Shooters and Fishers and One Nation, because we're seeing in regional New South Wales, in the far west of the state, people turning away from the National Party. They're not turning away and they're not voting for Labor. They're voting for these conservative One Nation Shooters parties.
If the government loses... How's it going to be seen? Is it going to be seen as, you know, well, one that they just kind of had coming or something that they really screwed up?
If the government loses, it's something they've really screwed up. This is the unlosable. This is not the election they should be losing. They shouldn't be 50-50 in the polls. You know, in terms of what the majority of punters want state governments to do, build your roads, fix your hospitals, build your schools, this government's doing. So they're... That broader question will be asked and it'll be on election night, on ABC TV, everyone can watch, or on radio. Give the television coverage that I'll be on a plug. That'll be one of the questions, what's gone wrong?
Yeah.
And there's been lots of, already people are raising messaging of the campaign, who's been supporting the Premier, what the problems are.
Mm.
But it's likely that she might just hang on and then that's going to, she's going to have to, if she's got a minority government, she's going to have to deal with the problems and the hardship of running a minority government and a hung parliament, and particularly when she's been very forceful saying that she won't do any deals with the Shooters Party. You know, if they've got a balance of power situation, everything changes.
All right, now one last thing before we go. Voting in the New South Wales election is compulsory. So if you're away from your electorate tomorrow, you could always cast an absentee ballot then. Or you could go to an early voting centre sometime today.
This is spoken like a person who's definitely got a fine before. guilty. Yes, and that is The Signal for today and for this week. So thank you for listening. And if you would like to get in touch, as always, our email is thesignal@abc.net.au.
And we'll be back here in your podcast feed on Monday. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there, PK here from The Party Room, a podcast that breaks down the week in Australian politics. We've got a brand new episode out. It's all about the way the conversation around Islamophobia, racism, national security has changed in the wake of the Christchurch attack. It's new and it's available right now. Go listen on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. Pull out that phone. Come on, do it now. Go to your favourite podcasting app, search for The Party Room, subscribe. I'll wait. I'm here. You done it? Thanks. That's The Party Room podcast, and it's out now.